Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. We are podcasting at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, SoundCloud, iTunes. We do have a Facebook page, which is Richard Dugan, T-M-Y-S. So just look that up. There's a page there, all the postings of the programs that we have. We encourage you to go there, as well as links to our guests' website. We'll give that as well to you a little bit later here on in the program, so that you can continue your research and investigation, your own personal evolution and growth, and hopefully together we can make this a better place for all of us. It's really what we're striving for. This particular program happens to fall two days prior to my 58th birthday. The 24th of June is when this broadcast is being heard, and I took a long look at the calendar. First of all, can't believe that I've come this far. I'm not quite saying what my father said when I asked him when he turned 70, how's it feel? And he said, well, it's great, but I didn't expect to live this long. I expect to live a whole lot longer than that. And he's now in his he's in his late 80s. But 58, man, it's just unbelievable to have come. And if you think about it, folks, when you celebrate a birthday, you're not celebrating, you're celebrating the end of that particular year. You're celebrating the fact that you made it to the end, in my case, to the end of my 58th year on this planet. And I still hope that I have another 42 plus to go. As I've jokingly said, I'm going to outlive my great-grandmother, and she lived to be 100. So I've got a ways to go, and I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. Along the way, we meet all kinds of people. We meet all kinds of people who are trying to help us to move forward in our lives, to evolve spiritually and emotionally, mentally, and maybe even physically, psychologically, and so forth. And today is, I think, a good example of that. Today we're going to be talking with a wonderful woman who, she's got a website by the name of RitaSoman.com. She is originally from New Delhi, India, currently residing on the West Coast in Oregon. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program today, Rita.
Thank you, Richard. I'm so excited.
This is the kind of work that you do, and you don't just do one kind of work. You have several different modalities that you incorporate into the overall work that you do with your clients, if you will, people who come to you saying, hey, I've got these issues that I'm dealing with, and I want to achieve something more in my life. You know, I want a much more fulfilling relationship, or I want maybe a bank account. I want it to be overflowing, or I want a job that I really enjoy doing, or whatever the issues might be. And you have, if I am correct, and I will have you explain this, you basically sum it up all by saying that it is the reason why we aren't achieving these things is due to these blocks in our lives. Tell us about these blocks that we're, in a manner of speaking, we've stacked up and built these walls to keep us from moving forward in these areas that we supposedly so desire to achieve.
Okay, these blocks are actually in our subconscious mind, but we see it outside. So we try to go outside and make things better. If relationships don't work, we seek therapy and doesn't work, we seek a different relationship, you know. Or if there's a financial problem, we change jobs or start our own business. Different thing. We try to fix things outside, you know, to have better results, not realizing that our outer life is a result of our inner reality, inner consciousness, what we carry from even before birth, you know. We have our emotional DNA from many generations, you know, plus cultural beliefs and beliefs of society, they're programmed in us. So if we want to achieve our goals, and if we are struggling, and chances are that your subconscious mind is not on board with your wishes and desires. 95% of our actions, behaviors, biology is controlled by the subconscious mind, according to Bruce Lipton. Okay. He's the author of the book Biology Belief. He's a cellular biologist, and he talks about it, that over 95% of our everything, our behaviors and biologies, is a result of the subconscious mind. So, which means, like, if we don't like certain behaviors in ourselves or in other people, we try to change that. But the fact is that if you really want to change something, then change the root cause, change the consciousness. So a lot of people think that it is because of my life I'm feeling this way. But the fact is that your life is that way because of how you have been feeling for a long, long time. So feelings don't come first. Feeling comes first. Experiences come later. Our experiences are shaped by our beliefs and our thoughts and our feelings. So that's what my work is, subconscious work. I work with people. And I use different modalities as I'm guided to intuitively. Also, we do muscle testing to test which modality right now is best for the person I'm working with. Then we go from there.
Yeah. I'm quite familiar too with what's called kinesiology or muscle testing. I still remember when I learned it and how I learned it, and the woman that taught this to me, and it's very simple. It's not a very complicated method, because really your body it doesn't lie. It when you ask questions and you process this information through kinesiology or muscle testing, you know, the answer always comes back correctly for you. I've even heard of people who use it when they go grocery shopping to make sure they buy the right things from time to time. And in a manner of speaking, wouldn't you say that it's sort of an outward manifestation, and at least of the processing of our just our own intuition? I mean, our higher self knows what's best for us, right?
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when someone comes to you with any one of these or any other requests for something more, you are not one who buys into the statement they might make, well, I was born into this class or this level of economic this economic level or this social level or this religious level and so forth. It goes back to those thoughts that and even setting aside the programming, as you say, that I guess what is in our DNA that we actually carry from lifetime to lifetime, or from our ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but we can change all those things, you know. Like people used to believe that, you know, we have to live with our genetic compositions and other things that we inherit. But the fact is that you can actually change all that very easily.
How long does it take for someone to begin to realize that these changes are now manifesting and they can maybe see down the road a ways and see, there's that thing that I wanted, that I told her that I wanted to achieve in my life. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I didn't see it before. What kind of is there a time frame we can put on it? I'm not necessarily saying that every person is the same, where in 2 weeks, 2 months, or what have you. But what kind of results have you achieved through these processes?
Anywhere from minor allergies to late stage cancer, terminal illnesses, people have conquered that. From poverty to total prosperity, from a bad relationship to great relationship with self and the others, forgiveness of self and others. I mean, you name it. I mean, people come to me with things that I don't even know what they're talking about, but I ask them, what do you want instead? And then we work toward that. We find out from the subconscious mind through muscle testing what may be the reason why this person has this issue going on. And then we clear that one from there, reprogram the subconscious mind. And the beautiful thing about this work is now 80% of my work is on Skype. I work worldwide with people. And I'm able to successfully do muscle testing with people in surrogation and facilitate the work. I mean, I was myself skeptical in the beginning, you know, how can this be possible? But once I released my own skepticism, I said, okay, we'll give it a try anyway. And so my first person I worked with, she had breast cancer, and she completely healed herself in 3 months' time. So it depends upon what people's problems are, what they're bringing. For example, if, just like when you take your car to the mechanic, you know, if it needs little minor tweaking, so he can tell you come back in a few hours and take your car. But if it needs more time, he'll tell you to keep it in the shop or bring it more times. So this is how it is. You know, we don't know when we are working with the person, see what this person needs to change and how many blocks are there, what else is going on. So I really cannot tell. But mostly people buy a package of 6 sessions because 1 session, 2 sessions usually don't just, they just scrape, they do it. Most people, my experience. Mm-hmm. And so I sell a package of 6 sessions, and then in 6 sessions, see how they're doing. If we definitely they do better, then we decide if they need to continue 6 sessions once a week or maybe every other week. You know, it depends from person to person, the problem.
Sure. And everybody's different, so the progress is certainly going to be a bit different as well. But obviously the end result, the end game, the goal, if you will, is always to achieve that which they set out. And of course, we talk about, you know, helping people to become aware of the various choices they didn't even know existed so that they can make their dreams come true. And we all have dreams, you know, in spite of the fact that there might be people who have been kind of beaten down by life or by their own messages within themselves, their own subconscious and so forth. That doesn't mean that they can't start to dream. I mean, that's sort of the first thing that I talk to people about is, what are your dreams? What is it, you know, where do you want to be? I mean, I've talked many times on this program about the various dreams regarding this radio program. You know, I haven't seen the manifestation of any of those things yet, but I know they're in the works. You know, I believe that it's going to happen. I believe that it can happen and it will happen. And I'm real excited about the prospects. I think it's going to be a lot of fun once I do get there. But I'm still having fun where I'm at, too. And yet, at the same time, I would venture, and I've said this before to folks as well, that, you know, I'm on the same path everybody else is on. I'm trying to figure it out, too. I'm trying to understand it, too. And that's why we have folks such as yourself. Now, you are, in addition to being an author, you're also a psychotherapist by training, correct?
I am a psychotherapist by training, and I did that for 18 years, just talk therapy. And I really did not see long-term results with my clients. Or when I received psychotherapy, I felt better in the session, but then I couldn't wait to go back again the next week. So I was dependent on the therapist, you know. Now what is different is that because I have reprogrammed my mind, and I still reprogram myself, and I see things that, we need to change this one and do that. And so I work on that instead of like trying to, you know, change things outside, you know, find a guru. So it's different, you know. So I'm a evolved creative and intuitive psychotherapist, which means, like, you know, the research proves that the person you're working with, if that your therapist has done some healing, there are very good chances of your successful session with the person, the therapist. But if the therapist is stuck, you know, so they may know millions of modalities, but they can't get them there. If I can't get myself there, there's no way I can get my clients there. I don't have the capability. These tools work, but depends whose hands. I truly believe that my own healing has a big role to play in my client's success, because when I meet with them, I tell them literally that, you know, if you come with an open mind, I tell them exactly what you can expect, and they do. So most of my work is word of mouth, and I like that. because I like giving people, I can only give people hope if it has worked for me, you know, or many other people, which it has. So when I say that it's going to work, you just have to come with an open mind and be consistent, persistent, and do your actions after your sessions. And yes, they see changes. In fact, I'm working with this person. She's done only 4 sessions. She has some anxiety problems. She was on medication. And she told me today that she's going to go to her doctor because the anxiety medication is actually causing her more anxiety because she's able to heal. If you don't have anxiety and somebody gives you a pill, how are you going to feel? You know? So she feels that now. She feels that way, that because of she's not feeling the benefit, but she's feeling more like a pressure, you know, feeling tired and all that stuff. So I said, okay, well, let's see what your doctor has to say. And that's exactly what I felt when I had a thyroid problem, low thyroid. So I was taking thyroid medication for 18 years. And my doctor already told me that I can never cure my thyroid. So I have to depend on these medication, take it every morning, that pill. So I took it, no problem, a little pill every morning. So when I decided that, you know, if this processes work, you know, so I hired myself another person who knew this work. And I said, okay, that's what my goal is, to get a message from my thyroid problem. So the message was that I was in my first marriage, married to an alcoholic and abusive husband. So I was totally traumatized. I was in fear mode. Even though he was out of my life, he had committed suicide in 1983. But, you know, I still had, my subconscious mind was still holding that fear. You know, so once I got my message and healed all that, past the trauma and released my fears, and my thyroid got better. Now, how do I know it got better? Well, I was getting reaction from, if you give somebody who's has good working thyroid now, and if you give them medication for low thyroid, what do you think is going to happen? It put me in a hyper mode. So I called my doctor, I went to see, and he ran the test. He called me immediately, said, stop the pill. And then he was surprised. I was not taking high doses of that pill, and I was getting a reaction. Because, I mean, if you give somebody a pill, a healthy person, I mean, they're not going to benefit. They're going to react to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what was happening. So since then, it's like a 2006, I have not been taking any medication. My thyroid is totally normal. I get myself tested every year. It's getting better and better every area of my life, mm-hmm. you know. Just by changing my consciousness, my beliefs, my ancestral beliefs and my cultural beliefs, and things are different now. And so I'm very thrilled that how doing such simple things, you know, you can really give yourself a break first internally, because you won't feel that way. You won't feel negative and you won't feel pessimistic and angry and resentful, you know. But you feel optimistic, you feel you are happy for no reason. You're able to take a break. Like, I was a workaholic, working 80 hours a week. Now I work only 20 to 25 hours a week. Once a month, I teach this workshop called Access Bars, Access Consciousness, which I find it to be. I taught Psyche workshop for almost 10 years, over 10 years, but that was good. But somehow my path changed, and I wanted to teach something that people can easily practice, and I found Access Consciousness. So I asked the Divine Source that there's something else that I'm supposed to do. Please guide me and enlighten me. And so I was led to this process, and I took the training, 1 day training, and I was like, by the end of the day, I was saying, oh my God, what is this? It's so beautiful, so simple to use. And so I've been using this work with myself and with my clients, and also in addition to other modalities that are listed on my website. And then after that, I teach now, and because I like to empower people and also teach them some tools that they can use on their own. It's a very beautiful, simple work. But, you know, I'm not a disciple of one particular modality. Honestly speaking, to me, I keep my mind open, okay, to all modalities. Because I think that people who are creating these modalities, they are trying to do good in the world, right? So I totally give them credit. But depending on which stage of life I'm in, so if I'm given something else, that's what I do. Or maybe tomorrow I may come up with my own tool I'm open to that. So this is how I work. But I really appreciate everybody who's creating these processes and trying to make a difference in the world.
Well, you also, I would like to have you talk to us a little bit about what you refer to on your website as the emotional code and the healing code.
These are just two processes. People can Google it and check out about it. You know, I use these for healing. Healing code is mostly with the healing pair, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you also have other, and so basically these are just different modalities that you incorporate into each session with the person based upon, again, as you've talked about, using muscle testing and your intuition to determine what is best for them. So, and so I would venture that in spite of the fact that you have these elements listed, it's not exclusive to those, because I'm sure there are others as well.
I also use Psyche. I've been using Psyche process since 2006, you know, when I read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, about it. So I was sold on it because Bruce Lipton said he totally benefited. So I used it with myself and taught it and used with my clients. I still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful process. I do. But, you know, I must tell you one thing that, I mean, sometimes it makes me laugh that when people have problem, you know, in life, where do you think they run to? They run to, take workshops. You know, it's hilarious that if somebody has some health issue, heart problem, are you going to enroll yourself in a medical school? Or you go to a doctor, you know. Somehow people have this idea, belief from somewhere that if I take this workshop and that workshop, my life will change. But they don't understand learning and healing are two separate measures, you know. So I'm trying to encourage people to present themselves for healing and do the healing. And then if you want to take any workshop of any modality that you're drawn to, then go take that workshop. But first thing first, you need to heal yourself. And that's what I'm encouraging people more. And I'm getting, because I was not feeling fulfilled when I taught workshop, Psyche workshop in 18 states, you know, in India and Canada. I would not see people really use it. So I said, God, they are wasting their money and time with me. Wish they had come to me for sessions. So I was slowly getting some sense of unfulfillment because I felt I was underserving my clients, that they are not getting what they need, actually. So that's how my path changed this year, January. I stopped that when I totally devoted myself to helping people heal and then teach this simple workshop called Access Consciousness Bars, which is, as I told you earlier, it's very simple work, and you teach people under 15 for free. What I like about this workshop is that they have a global pricing. For each country, they have they set prices according to their economic status. So I like that about it. It sounds like these people are really considerate and not like they are just to make money. So not that I have a problem with people making money, but to me, yes, we have a right to make money, but you have to see what I'm doing. Is it adding value to my client's life? If it is, then go for it. So I come from a place where I'm guided what to charge each person. So I charge what I'm guided. And then I ask the person also, where are you at? And then I never refuse help to anybody. And I mostly attract people who actually value me because I value myself. But I'm considerate. So I attract those people in my personal life, in my professional life, who are the same way. Well, I think that many people have made selling workshop as a goal to make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like, if that doesn't speak to me personally. So I do what sits right with me, what makes my soul happy, and what I think is really is right thing to do, so I do.
Yeah.
And it works for me.
Yeah. You know, I actually met you through one of the social media sites that I was on for a while, and then I got off. And I was off for several years just because I had a bad taste in my mouth. And as time has gone on, I thought, you know, I might want to try doing this again, only this time I'm really going to keep the focus on the radio program, keep the focus on getting people to listen to the interviews. And I actually met you through Facebook. as I was skimming through, and I thought, this is very interesting. And you do something, I don't know how many times a day you do it, because I haven't really been keeping track, but I do know that every day, it seems, you go out and you, with Facebook, has the capability for people to live video stream, and of course yours are recorded as well. And you go out into nature. You go out on the highways and the byways in the area in where you live, and you just take the panoramic shots. And it's just it's a wonderful thing to see. I mean, I live in a great place too, but I like seeing the videos that you have put out, especially those of nature and the beautiful lakes and the rivers and the mountains and the snow and blue skies and all of the beautiful things that come across there. That what is the impetus? What is the impetus for doing that for people?
You know, nature inspires me to keep myself in shape. Okay, because I want to read this little quote for you. It's so nice. You know, this in 14th century Sufi poet Hafiz. You know, he wrote this poem. And he said, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Now look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. So my goal is to be the love so I can light the whole world. And so when I go in the nature, two things happen. One is that it brings out all the great memories I had in my childhood. My parents would take us to mountains 2 months every summer break, and we explored mountains, and I wanted to catch these clouds and put it in my suitcase and take it home kind of thing. And I was very little. And so I just have this special connection with these mountains. And I feel like I've been here many lifetimes, that I have this special bond with these mountains and the trees I appreciate. But when I was stuck in the mud of my own stuff, you know, from my past that I was telling you about with my first husband, even though I got married to a very nice man. I've been married to him for 31 years. But for 18 years, I was missing from my marriage, emotionally, mentally, physically also, because I try to do jobs, you know, 100 miles away, so I'm hardly at home, those kind of things, because it was so hard for me to receive love. It was so hard for me to accept compliments. I just, like, it was too good to be true for me. So I was just avoiding. So I was so stuck. So I was a workaholic, so that I don't have to give myself even 1 minute to think about myself. And I was kind of only almost on a self-sabotage, and like I'm punishing myself. And so those 18 years were like, that's where I was 25 pounds overweight and had all kinds of health problems. I was like a total basket case. And I was a very rich person, by the way. But inside I was so broke and poor, and I said, hell with this money, I need to heal myself first. That's where I surrendered to the divine source. I said, I'm sorry, I've been asking for wrong things from you. I should have asked for peace of mind. And that's what I need. So let's swap prosperity with peace of mind temporarily. Please take my prosperity back and give me peace of mind. When I'm ready, I won't ask for it. When I'm ready, I want you to deliver as much prosperity you think my consciousness can handle. So I won't ask for more. So that's the deal I have with the divine source till this day. So I don't set such goals like that. Only goal I have is to keep my peace of mind and do things that make me feel good. So I couldn't even appreciate. My husband would take me around and show me these beautiful places that I'm shooting now and posting. And I'm thinking something else. He said, honey, look at that. How beautiful it is. I'm saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I didn't have the chemistry, the serotonin to enjoy, say, wow, look at that, look mm-hmm. at that. And now that I work through my stuff, so I have this happy chemistry going through my whole body and my brain. So I'm able to even a little thing, dewdrop, I take a picture, I say, wow, how pretty it is, you know. So those are the changes that I see in my life. So I like to go in the nature. I live so close to it. In fact, even where I live, all around is greenery, beauty. You can see mountains. I live in a simple place, but it's all around beauty, you know.
Yeah.
And so I like to share the beauty with people. So what I do is I go every day, and I go every day. This is my treat to myself. I go. It takes me half an hour to go.
Yeah.
Come back, 10, 15 minutes, come back and go and spend a little time. And I just come back with, like, as if I bathe in the divine energy there. I come back so rejuvenated. And that's what I do. So You know what? Interestingly, I used to spend my free time in shopping malls, buying. I was a compulsive shopper. Mm. Okay. I didn't buy for myself mostly. I was a people pleaser. I was a caretaker. That's my story. Just tell me a story. This is my story. And so I would just go. That's where I spend. I shopped till I dropped kind of thing. I had store cards and credit cards, and I was in a mess, you know. What is different now? Because I don't have to avoid myself. I'm in touch with myself. I'm operating from my authentic self and fulfill the desire of my authentic self that likes to go in the nature. So instead of going to malls, I go to these beautiful places. When I go teach workshop, I pick places where there's nature. I can go and have fun. That's what my first criteria is. I won't teach people who don't have a beautiful scenic background. I will do that too. But that's something really excites me. So that's the main reason. And they say when you connect with the nature, your nature improves, which is really true actually. So it's important to take time, smell roses, whatever you can, you know, give yourself this little treat of this visual treat, you know, do that. That yeah. really works.
I know that. One of the things that is quite often talked about, in addition to what you have elaborated on, is if there are things that you enjoy doing. For example, for me, one of them is to spend some time, even if it's just a half hour or so, out by the ocean, whether it's at the beach or the breakwater or at the wharf, on the pier, that type of thing. Drawing. I used to build models. I would go to the store. I'd go to buy model ships and planes and boats and things. And I loved building those things. There was just something very cool about that. And then, of course, in the 90s, I started building working models called computers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time I got it right. I was able to figure out how the pieces went together. It was fairly simple, but nonetheless, and so those are the kinds of things that I enjoy being out in nature. I enjoy taking walks. I can walk. I love where I'm living now because it'll take me 20 minutes from where I'm sitting to walk to the beach, whereas it would take me 20 days if I was still living in Phoenix to get to the beach. And then I might not be too healthy by the time I got there or feel too great. But I think those are the kinds of things that you encourage people to look at is what are the things that you really enjoy doing that especially that you haven't been giving yourself? And do you find that a lot of people have a great difficulty with really, and I'm going to put this in a little different context, giving to themselves, but in actuality, nurturing self? Do you find a lot of people just, they don't understand, maybe some people don't even understand the concept because they're maybe people pleasers or whatever the case might be.
Very true. But at the same time, it's not something they're choosing not to go in the nature, not to have fun. It's like their subconscious mind, they have a belief they don't deserve to have fun. I had a client, you know, he was raised with play was not something they encouraged, you know, and playing and having fun, going places. So I was helping him to go. I gave him a homework of doing some, what did you like to do that you were not allowed to do? And he said, bike ride. Okay, so go bike riding. This is a homework this week. So he called me a day later from emergency room. He said, Rita, you gave me homework and I just smashed my face, you know, all the stuff. So after that, you know, I don't give such assignments. I make sure that they have a belief that it is safe for me to go out and play and have fun and I deserve to have fun. Whatever the reason is, the resistance is, I clear that and make it okay. So then they take that consciousness, then they're happy and then they're going bike riding. Mm-hmm. Don't do things to feel good. You have to feel good because if you do things to feel good, you always have to do something to feel good. I don't go in the nature to feel good. I feel good, then my feeling good place wants me to go. This vibration calls for an action mm-hmm. from me. Let's go here, let's go there. So that's what I do.
There's a phrase that has often been used. I want you to share with us your perspective on this particular phrase, this saying that you hear quite often. And it sounds to me like you may have a counter perspective on this than most people. And the phrase is fake it until you make it. And it sounds to me like you don't do things to feel good, and that's faking it until you make it. Am I correct? Is that a fair assessment?
I used to believe that too, and I tried to fake it to feel good, okay? But I can tell you that it's like you're going without the subconscious mind's support, trying to do things, and let you do short time, you know, because you're putting conscious efforts and you're using more, just like, you know, when you're in love with someone, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you are like using your conscious mind and aware of, you know, how to speak, how to talk, how to behave and all that stuff. So, and then the person, I really love you, I want to get to the, they propose and they say, oh, sure, let's get married. And then after some time, they said, you're not the same person I married, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. That's like a faking and making, like, why fake it? You want to find out that if you fake it, that means you, that's the kind of life you want to live, fake it, okay? But live in the virtual reality. But the fact is that you want to find out why I'm not able to do this, why everybody's playing, why people are doing well, why I'm not able to tap into my own potential. Universe is abundant. Why I'm not getting my abundance peace from there? What is blocking me? Because the thing is that you may survive and be okay with that and take the great talent into the grave, you know? But the fact is that if you are, everybody's given some talent and we are supposed to share this talent, enjoy this talent and share with the world, okay? So the focus should be on what blocks me from expressing my real self and expressing my talents and gifts that I was given to share with the world. And that gives you an opportunity to clear that consciousness. And if you decide not to, then what happens? Well, you may end up attracting some serious health issue because of the reasons why you were not able to express yourself. Those reasons will become a source of some serious health issue for you. I see it all the time when I work with people. So I tell people, don't do sessions with me because you want to make more money, you want to attract a nice person in your life and whatever it is. You want to see if you had experienced any trauma in your childhood. You want to clear that because that trauma hasn't gone anywhere. You can hide behind your work, hide behind something else. It's not going away. Mm-hmm. It is there in you. I silently, like a tsunami, all of a sudden, boom. I mean, somebody told me about Kate Spade. She just committed suicide.
Yes.
Okay. And then we have other people like Amy Winehouse. We have Michael Jackson, you know, and
Robin
Whitney
Williams,
Houston, you know,
yeah.
Prince, you know. Well, the thing is that I tell people, if you do not take your subconscious on board, have subconscious on board while you're trying to achieve, you can achieve. When you put your hard work into it and you can achieve. But you know what? That's what happened with me. It happened with me exactly the same thing where I had in the midst of like being so successful and so famous and so rich from every perspective, I crashed because my self-esteem was not a match to it at all. So that's why that's the dangerous part about it. Like when you try to just focus on outer achievements mm-hmm. and inner, inside remains same, you know, happiness doesn't come from outside only. Okay. So if you become rich and famous and everything, and if becoming rich and famous can give you all the joy, then that's what people would run after. And many people do try to run after that. But the thing is that you don't have to run after that. It is your birthright to be rich and famous and do whatever, be in a good relationship and live a long life and healthy life. You want to say, like Rumi says, you know, you have built walls, you know.
Yeah.
So what are those walls? What are those blocks that are blocking you from experiencing life fully and living a vibrant life and connecting with the nature, connecting with your spirit and expressing your purpose? It's simple. It's easy. We are so much focused on outside. People are saying this and a president or other countries' problems. But the thing is that you need to focus on yourself and be the change and then attract other people toward that change And that's what you inspire people, like Gandhi from India, you know, is a good example. He said, be the change you wish to help, try to help people with. And I decided to follow Gandhi. And also he said something else also, that live a simple life so others can simply live. So I choose to live a simple life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two things I follow of Gandhi, okay? So if you're not the person you're trying to help people with, you cannot help people with that change. I can bet you, I can guarantee you. Because the change has to come through you. The healing happens between you and the person through the divine intervention and the thing. If your channel is not clean, I was cleared, cleaned, groomed, and now being used by the divine source as a channel. When I work with people, I don't think what I'll be working with them, what I'll be doing. I'm totally, totally guided. I used to make fun of people who said that they were intuitive people. I said, no. I didn't believe in it. But now that after doing so much work on myself and clearing myself, I realized that, yes, I'm a very intuitive person. I can just like, within 5 minutes time, I can figure it out exactly what's going on. Because I don't use my head. Everything that they need to work on right there. Sometimes people ask me, oh, you are so quick and right on this, you know. How do you get there so quickly? I said, I don't know. Through my own experience. It's so beautiful that we're trying to make our life so complicated. We're trying to work so hard outside. We think that, okay, I'm also addictions treatment therapist and mental health therapist for a long time. I help people with that. Well, they're trying to do research, you know, on why people can't stay long-term sober, clean and sober. But they never address the root cause of their evidence-based practices for relapse prevention. I can bet you that even after doing those relapse prevention therapies, people still relapse. So that's the evidence of those therapies. You know, don't work.
Right.
They are geared for the conscious mind, not the subconscious mind. Root cause, if root cause is not addressed, you're going to have problem in your life in areas where you didn't think that you will have problem. All of a sudden, something shows up in the midst of when you're doing so good in life and then commit suicide. Now people wonder, why this person committed suicide? Their life is so good and all this stuff, you know, they look good. Well, that's another different thing that I do. I don't focus on looking good. I focus on feeling good naturally. My first thing is to feel good.
Yeah.
Not look good only. Because looking good, radiance comes from within you.
We're going to continue talking more about this with Rita Soman and ritasoman.com, ritasoman.com. We encourage you to go there. We will be linked to her website as well. And you can find her on Facebook just like I did. So we encourage you to do that as well. You'll find us on Facebook. Richard Dugan, TMYS, is the page we've created listing all of the programs that are upcoming. So we encourage you to do that. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here with Rita Soman, and she is out of the northwestern part of the country, but originally from New Delhi, India. And I'm curious if I could ask, about your a philosophical upbringing. You did talk about your story a little bit in terms of your health and all those different aspects that were out of balance. And over the course of time, you went through this processes and cleaned up different aspects, got through those blocks, which we also want to talk about the process in a general sense on how we can get through those blocks. But what about your upbringing and its influence? And again, I realize this isn't taking into consideration your past lives, because I'm sure that that's something that you have looked at as well. But what about this present life and the things that you were taught that you sort of had to, unlearn or reprogram as far as the subconscious is concerned?
Can you repeat that one, last part?
The last part having to do with getting through the blocks that you had to, whether that's sort of a reprogramming of the subconscious. Can you share with us a little bit about that in relation to your upbringing?
My upbringing, I was raised in a middle-class family and with great values, just encouraged to do a job just to survive. And, you know, so my father made sure that all his five children, you know, get great education. So he doesn't have to support them for the rest of his life so they can be independent, which was a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he picked everybody's careers but mine, because I was a very rebellious child, so I did not let anybody control me. Somehow I just said, I don't know, there was something in me that wouldn't let anybody control me. And so I got to pick this profession, the psychology background. I graduated and did my master's in psychology and everything else. So then I did some training to become school counselor, and I did that one. So I was influenced by movies, the Bollywood movies. So I wanted to marry the, you know, how the Bollywood actors fall in love in movie and things like that. So I was totally against the arranged marriage. So I went for love marriage, even though my father tried to tell me that I was making a wrong choice with this person. I didn't listen. You know, become rebellious when you're already in your, like, I was 22 years old. So I got married to this person who I could not imagine that, you know, he would, how he became after, like, he was like a different person when we were dating. Just a few weeks after marriage, he became a different person. And then I realized that this is not the person that I married. But he was in some, many ways, reflection of my father, which is controlling and everything else, you know. And so my father was not abusive that way, but he was. But I also realized that when I was born, in my parents literally begged for a daughter, because they had three sons, my brothers. I knew one thing, that when my parents would get, my brothers would get spanking, and I wanted to know how it feels to get spanked, and I would do things too so they can spank me, but they wouldn't spank me. So I brought this from my past life. I don't know, my subconscious mind was familiar with that one. So I then got into abusive relationships later on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That is something I think that that came from my past life for sure, that something that unresolved there. But so I, like everybody else, once my first husband had committed suicide, my father put me on a guilt trip, said we don't get remarried, I can die peacefully and things like that. So I said, okay, I'll get married. So I got married to my husband and came to America in 1987. 6 months were like, wow, I was in heaven, 6 months, because I was using my conscious mind. But after that, I felt like running away from there, going back, you know. It was my own discomfort, like my inner reality and my outer reality did not match at all. That was causing me so much stress. I felt so bad. I felt like not a good person for my husband. A lot of stuff was going on there. My father kept telling me that, don't come back, just stay there, get married, he's a nice guy and things like that. But I couldn't handle that niceness because my subconscious mind was not used to it. So I tried to hide behind work, shopping, and I told you all those things I did. I also got a lot of health issues because I was not taking care of myself, you know, at all. But I was able to manifest literally everything that I need to from academic point of view, you know, including promoting big Bollywood stars in Portland and everything else I was able to do. When time came to just working with myself and feeling this peace of mind, that's what was missing. And that's what I was going after. And that's what I achieved with that. And now I maintain that state of mind. So my family background was quite influential in a way of like teaching me some basic values that I still practice, you know. I wouldn't say that I had some terrible experiences from my childhood, but I would say that definitely I had some carryover stuff from my past life that got manifested later on.
Well, again, we all have those, you know, as you quite put it quite well, we all have those stories from our past. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what are some of the initial steps, if you will, that we can start with and go through the process of breaking up those blocks, of releasing ourselves from those. And the image that comes to mind is that the block has a chain attached to it, and then that other end of the chain is attached to us, and we're dragging those blocks everywhere we go. How do we break those chains?
I would say first thing is stop taking workshops.
Okay.
You can take workshop later on, but if you have some issue depending upon, you know, what the issue is, I would go and get some help, okay? So get some help, and to get help from people, you have to really see if this person has achieved the goal, if they haven't done it. So you want to interview the person and talk to them, ask them questions, you know, and then go. And don't depend on the therapist to heal you, because they can only facilitate through these different modalities to help you. But people still have to do their actions after that. If you are reading a lot of books, don't buy more books, you know, because getting this outside knowledge is not going to do it for you. It's going to make you aware. But to empower yourself, you need some help. And that's what I would go after. Had I known this before, I would have not gone to any workshop. I would have first presented myself for complete healing, and then I would have taken workshop on whatever. So to use it in my personal life, you know, as a maintenance thing, and also to maintain my work I've done, and also to help my clients. That's what I've done. But it's okay. That was all experience I had to go through. But people don't need to go through that experience. A lot of people are already spending a lot of money and time in just learning, which is, if learning can change people, I can tell you that I would have changed a long time ago. I've been learning and taking workshop for a long, long time. That did not do it for me. So that's what I would suggest. Be honest with yourself. See where do you stand. And then just present yourself to a therapist and then of your choice, and then go and just say, okay, this is where I'm at. And make a goal of not, I want to make more money, I want to attract a better relationship, and all. No, no. You want to make it a goal. What is in me that is not letting me live a wonderful, awesome, abundant, healthy life? What is that in me that's blocking me? You want to work on that part, not like outside things, okay? That's what I would do. I want to change my consciousness, because I cannot change my consciousness by getting wealthy and getting a better relationship. I told you I had all those things that did not do anything, did not change anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody has a health issue, they cannot go shopping, their health will get better.
Yeah. You know? It's no fun.
They can feel better today.
Yeah.
Or maybe some people, when they have a health issue, they go and do organic eating and everything else, which is good too. But just doing that alone is not going to heal you. You want to find out that why, what is the message this illness or this problem has for me? That's what my work is with people. I work with them and help them to get the message why they are not there. Because that is more important than achieving goals outside, because you may achieve goals outside with my help, I tell people, or other people's help. But if you don't address this block, that can cause you life. That we see all the time happening. People, rich, famous people committing suicide, dying of overdoses and things like that, getting addicted to drugs and alcohol and all the stuff. That's not fair to you and to your life and to the world.
Yeah.
And you heal yourself. You're what we need. David Hawkins said that, you know, your healing impacts the world in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So do it for yourself first, and also offer that gift to the world. I offer the gift to the world, the gift of my healing, which I continue with it. And nothing, I'm fixed now. No, if I need a session, I'll go to somebody and say, okay, I think I need a session. And I'll just go.
I know that I've been through a number of personal growth programs in the 80s and early 90s with my first wife. And the original intent on my part was to accompany her because she was totally blind, and so she needed somebody to guide her around. So, all right, I'm not really doing much of anything else, so I got a few hours to kill each night, so I'll go down there and I'll guide her around and so forth. Of course, I have to sit there with her in the workshop. And of course, the next thing I know, I'm participating in the workshop. It's like, how did this happen? I didn't want to do this. And the next thing I know, I'm doing one after the other and so forth. And it's they were good experiences all in all. But am I free of the things that supposedly I talked about in those particular programs? Well, apparently not.
Because that's what I would do. I try to do with my husband.
Yeah.
I tried to force him into taking this workshop. And the reason he was not inspired to do that, he said, why should I go? I don't see any change in you. Why should I go?
Yeah.
He had a good point, but then we were at a verge of like, okay, we don't want to live with each other until, you know, we went to this workshop with Dr. Hugh Lin. He does Ho'oponopono. That also I use in my practice, Ho'oponopono. And then that's where he said, you know, you have issues in you that are showing up in your experience. So go face that. Don't point finger at other people. And so that's where we said, oh, that's what the issue was. And so we stopped blaming each other and got into serious therapy. He for his issues and I for my issues, and we got healthy. And the reason we are doing so good because we are both coming from empowered state. We don't wait for somebody else to say I love you. I have to make my day, you know.
Yeah.
I just tell myself I love you. You know, I'm very proud of you that you've done a great job. High five to you. So both are happy people within. When two happy people meet, they exude joy. You know, they're happy. So that's how it is. So you want to have a happy relationship with people, harmonious. Well, you need to create this harmony inside of you. If you never saw a healthy relationship growing up, your chances of creating a happy relationship is not possible at all. Unless you reprogram your mind and then show your mind something that it has never seen by doing self-love. Self-love is the key. You mm-hmm. have to love yourself regardless of what, where have you been, what has happened to you. So give yourself permission to love yourself and make yourself the highest priority in your life, you know. I'm not saying if you have children, ignore them, but make sure that you're not just there trying to cater to everybody else's needs and or pleasing people or getting recognition from the world and being the Guinness record, but make sure that you do some work, personal development work. I love this guy. His name is Jim Rohn. I don't know if you heard about him or not. Jim R-O-H-N Rohn. He's not living anymore, but he had great wisdom to share with people. He said, if you want to be prosperous in any profession, you want to see what value you're adding to this person's life. If you don't have any value you're adding, mm-hmm. you're not going to be successful. The success comes in like how I'm able to guide somebody through their journey without getting affected. Like some people say, how do you deal with all kind of people with their energy don't affect you? No, it don't. It doesn't affect me because I don't have the same vibration to attract that and hold on to that. I am at a better energy vibration. So those are the things that people need to really look into. Everybody's, you know, the problem is that people think that if I can get married to this person or a nice partner, have more money, have this and that, I'll be a happy person, you know? No, you are not happy. That's what you need to focus on. Then everything you want is your birthright. Don't ask for things that's your birthright. It's going to happen anyway. You want to focus on the blocks because those blocks, if you're not resolved, can be life-threatening.
Yeah. Well, we all have to begin somewhere, and I encourage people to do that by going to ritasoman.com and finding out more. You've also been a contributor to a couple of books. You have a blog as well that people can read. And, of course, you sort of alluded to this in one of your comments. One of the books that you contributed to, Thank God I'm an Empowered Woman, Awakening Your Inner Strength and Genius. And, of course, in this day and age that we are currently living in, empowered women are popping up all over the place, especially with what's been happening. What I find so interesting is that there are people who think that this is a new phenomenon as far as the way women have been treated, especially in the media, in movies and television and so forth. And I was reading an article about Maureen O'Hara back in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And she was suffering through the same kind of abuse that we've been hearing about in the news. And she even wrote a letter that ended mm-hmm. up getting her not picked for a lot of movies for quite a period of time. But she stood up anyway and she said, hey, enough is enough. And that was back in the 40s. So this mm-hmm. is nothing new. This has been going on not just, you know, in the last century, but this has been going on, you know, as long as there have been men and women on the planet. But it's starting to shift, and a lot of people are really, they're almost afraid. Men in particular are now afraid because they're not exactly sure how they're supposed to behave because they are trapped with those same blocks that you're talking about, about the messages that they've gotten as they've grown up, who men are and how they're supposed to behave, who women are and how they're supposed to be treated.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it begins. And it's not about women finding their power and then usurping a man's power. That's a misnomer from conversations I've had on this program talking about this subject. I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit on it as well, that it is not a usurping. It is bringing back into balance the male and the female energies and the power.
That's true. But again, you know, I see more female clients actually coming to me as compared to men when men come. I work with them on getting their right brain activated so they can access their emotions, express their emotions and the imagination and not be too logical, analytical and goal-oriented, outer goal-oriented kind of thing. So I love the clients that I've been working with for a long time. Many male clients are doing exceptionally good. It's so beautiful. And other thing is that, you know, when women complain about my husband is not emotionally available, you know, they need to look at it. Was their father, mother emotionally available? You know,
mm-hmm.
And if they didn't have that experience, their subconscious mind gonna automatically attract what is familiar. So if you don't like what you see, then change the program within you. Then, you know, then things will change, you know, like my changing myself, my husband is treating me totally differently. Totally differently. I'm saying, wow, literally like a princess. Okay. Because I treat myself like a princess. I don't expect somebody to fill that void in me or make me happy. But fact is that only we can make ourselves happy. People cannot make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make ourselves. If you're not happy and you want somebody else, the Prince Charming or to come or some princess to come in your life to make you happy, it's not going to happen. Because the happiness is come from within you. Focus on that one. And so we see a lot of men are also doing some work on themselves, which is really good. A lot of men are getting more like treating women equally. Lots of changes are already happening in the world. Maybe not in those places where people are not aware of these things, you know, different scenario, countries, cultures, you know. But I see it a lot where I'm right now.
Hmm. Rita Soma is my guest, and she's a psychotherapist. She uses a wide variety of modalities that I'm sure over the course of time you continue to add to, because there's just so much great work that's out there that that can certainly assist and help. And obviously the first step, as you have described, is breaking through those blocks that are keeping us from achieving our goals, our dreams, being our authentic selves. I have to say that, you know, one of the things that has always frustrated me, whether it's in business or politics or religion or what have you, especially when you're talking about negotiations, this is something that's always bothered me, is the lack of honesty in negotiations and conversations in that regard. And what I mean by that is that when you go in to ask for something, you ask for 5 or 10 times more than what you want, what you really, really want, so that the other person can negotiate from the other side. And basically, you're going to work your way down to where you get what you want. And they don't realize that that's what they're doing. And it's like, why can't you just be honest and say, this is what I want, X, okay? That's what I want.
The thing is that I was working with somebody who's into Bollywood. He just produced a movie, you know, good movie. And so I was telling him, so when you go show your movie preview to these buyers and you put a price on it, he said, if I can break even, I said, then I don't work with people who want to break even. You can do it on your own. I work with people who want to thrive, who want to, you know.
Yeah.
So you have been working with me. That's not so. Raise your expectation and not work for survival. That's what everybody's doing. Survive.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that I was doing that. Anyway, so I said, when you go to people and present your material there, and then and have a price, and they say, well, this is too much. And so you tell them, well, I can understand that if you don't think you can make money, and so it's not a win-win situation. I understand that. That's okay. Thank you for your time. And don't like say, okay, let's negotiate. Let's drop the price. Put a reasonable price so people can also make money on it.
Sure.
Not put too much price on it, you know, kind of thing. So he liked the idea, and he said, that's what I'll do. I said, if people say no, don't take the no as, okay, final verdict. That means there's another customer waiting for you. They go there. Keep going. You're showing to the universe that you won't take accept less than that. And when you go to the next one, then you might get somebody who can even pay you more than what you're asking for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that helps. You have to have the confidence in your work, product that you created, that it's really worth it. It's of value. If you don't value your product, then people will value you from how much you value yourself.
Right. I remember when I first got into this business, and again, I had very little experience. I just wanted to do the projects. If there was a little money to be made, great. But I really wanted to gain the experience. And people kept saying, but you're undercutting yourself. You should be getting paid a whole lot more. And I said, well, you might be right. I should be getting paid a lot more. But if I ask them, and again, I knew these folks, and I knew kind of how much money they had in general. If I ask them for what I really want, then they'll not want to do the project. And I would rather do the project and get the little so that I can gain the experience, because I felt that that was also part of the exchange.
Yeah.
And then as I worked my way year after year after year, I remember the first time I asked for $25 an hour, and I kind of squinted a little bit and pulled up my shoulders going, okay, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop now. And they didn't flinch. And they, okay, sure, no problem. Then I went up to 50, and I went up to 75, and so on and so forth. And people have had no problem with paying that, you know. And a lot of times, if they do, well, all right, well, we could negotiate, not necessarily for something less, but a different kind of exchange, you know, bartering and that type of stuff. And I'm perfectly acceptable to that. Because when I think about it, gee, I really would like to do that you offer, but I really can't afford to do that. So what if we trade? I'll do the work I do in exchange for the work that you do. You know, the whole bartering system. Mm-hmm. And it works out just fine, because we both get what it is that we are looking for.
Now, there has to be even exchange of energy.
Yeah.
But not make it all like bartering. Then how would you pay your bills? Because everybody says, I do this.
True. I can't go to the electric company and say, well, but I traded this service over here. Exactly. Can I trade some of that in for the electricity that I use to run my washer and dryer? No. Doesn't work that way. So you're absolutely right. You can't do 100% bartering. But when I'm doing little projects outside of my salaried job, you know, it isn't really, it's not a problem. But a lot of the jobs I do, I do get paid in cash, if you will. I get paid money to do them. So, but it's always, I've always found that interesting. And you know, I hear about in politics or in religion or in business, you know, Wall Street and so on and so forth, these games they play. It's like, you're wasting so much time playing this game. We'll just come straight out. And it's like you said, if they're not willing, if they don't feel like they could pay this or that or the other, then there's another customer that's waiting down the road for you.
You have to believe that there's other customer waiting that. Yeah. I have compassion for you. I mean, I understand your point of view that you cannot sell my film for whatever, make so much money.
Yeah.
I understand that. But that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have a little difference. You can work with that. But sometimes try to give you half, and then you have to see, you know, what I started trying to do. But sometimes people feel like they're winning at it. You know, if they're able to break your price, they think, oh wow, I bought it so cheap, kind of thing. But the thing is that when we don't respect people, we're hurting ourselves, because I'm saying that I can't afford to pay this much for this service. You know. Mm-hmm. So I'm poor. I don't have money. That's not good. If you at this time, if you think you really cannot sell the product for this much, then you can say it's a good product, but right now I don't have the budget for it, but thank you so much for your time. Kind of thing.
Exactly.
There are ways to say that and honor people for the time because they heard you, they came to you, whatever it is. No, I get people coming to me, they ask me, how come you charge so much money?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you have to experience my work and then you might like to pay me more money actually. And then there are people who tell me, why you charge so little? You should, law of attraction, people charge $350 per session. You charge $195,
mm-hmm.
$50 if they buy six sessions. Why are you charging less? Different thing. People say, but to me, I just go with like, where's my client right now? I ask them that, okay, where are you at? How about that? I give you six sessions for this price. I can bet you after six sessions, you're going to do better. And then I'll have a new price for you. And they said, that sounds good. This way, it's a winning between two people. Yeah.
Right. I've always believed, I learned this early on, that when I am working with someone, I am not working with them so that I can be successful. I hope to be just the same, but that's not my motive. My motive is for them to be successful, because if they're successful, then so am I.
Exactly.
You know.
So you have to celebrate others' success as your own. You have to add value to the life. You want to make them poor and broke. They come to you for some work and they're already in debt, and then they're adding more debt and things like that. You have to see where they're at. And sometimes I send them to some other people who charge less money, who are I mentor some people. So I just send them some work too. You know, they can't afford. Yeah. I said, okay, I have somebody I trust equally. I do that. So I collaborate with people.
Yeah. I think it's not necessarily a new way of doing things, but it certainly is a way that I think that would certainly work for a lot of folks, and I think that we could go a long way with that. I want to thank you so much for giving us so much time here on the program, sharing with us these ideas and concepts, and we encourage people to go to your website, which is ritasoman.com. That's ritasoman.com, and they can read more about you as well as get in touch with you for sessions if they would like to do that, or just an initial consultation where they, you know, you can evaluate, okay, this is where I think we can go and this is what we can do and so on and so forth. You've also got the contributions to these particular books that you have listed on your website as well. And you'll have a blog that people can read as well. So we encourage folks to go there.
Thank you so much. I totally enjoyed. I think that you are an awesome host. I must tell you that your questions and everything else and your personal sharing of your personal things is beautiful, and I am so honored to know you, and thank you for inviting me, and I'm feeling very grateful and blessed.
I would love also, if you should ever find yourself here on the Central Coast in Santa Barbara, which I know you've been here a few times before, we'd love to have you in studio to continue talking about this. This is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Before I let you go, I have three final questions that I like to ask my guests. And again, we encourage you to go to ritasoman.com. We will be linked to her website as well, and you'll be able to listen to the full interview. Remember, the radio broadcast is only 50 minutes long, but we talked a lot more. So we encourage you to go to either richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, or SoundCloud and put in the search for Richard Dugan or tell me your story. Go to Facebook. We're there as well, and we encourage you to investigate all of that. My three final questions for you, Rita, are number one, who is Rita Soman?
Rita Soman is a fun-loving person who has made her choice to live her life fully and freely while helping others who are ready to live their life fully and freely.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Soul fulfillment. I'm already getting soul fulfillment. I feel so happy watching my clients all do well. I'm just like, I feel like I'm creating this community of people, you know, to inspire the larger part of the world. So I'm excited about that.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to inspire people by being the change and being a life filled with all kind of goodies and great health and live a long life and keep feeling good. And so that's what my purpose is, to just like every minute of my life that I'm on the planet, I want to enjoy it and also and help those who find me and help them to get there too. That's what my purpose is, to make this, leave this world a better place for everybody else to live. That's what my purpose is.
Again, thank you, Rita, for joining us here on the program. It's been a pleasure. And again, I do look forward to having you back again in the near future.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.